This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, Marijuana Now. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Smoking weed is becoming more and more accepted in a no big deal kind of way. Nick Macedi, a self-described pothead, says that way of looking at weed no longer works for him.
This is Drummer's Grove in Prospect Park in Brooklyn, New York. It's right by my house, and I used to come here a lot. But when I quit smoking weed, I started to stay away. Drum circles and pot are frequent companions. But here's the thing about this city. Weed is everywhere. I smell it all the time, and sometimes it's no big deal, but other times it's really triggering. See, I'm an addict, a pothead addicted to weed. You might not take that seriously, but I'm going to make the case that you should. A quick recap. Had a big heartbreak in high school? Weed helped. Dropped out of college? Weed helped. Arrested for dealing? Smoked before court. Got a slap on the wrist? Celebrated with a joint. Crashed my car? Broke my neck? Tossed the weed right out the window. None of that made me want to quit. That came years later. One day I just noticed I was paranoid all the time, rushing home every night after work to smoke alone, but when I tried to stop, I couldn't. Cold turkey didn't work. Therapy didn't help, neither did antidepressants. And every time I thought about checking out a recovery program, I think of Half-Baked, that cult stoner flick starring comedian Dave Chappelle. His character is a pothead, and he tries to quit smoking too.
My name is Thurgood. Hi,
Thurgood. He's standing on a stage, addressing all the other addicts.
I'm here today because I'm addicted to marijuana.
You ain't here for some marijuana? Marijuana?
Marijuana is not a drug.
Boo this man!
Hilarious. But some experts aren't laughing.
My name is Mark Kleiman. I'm a policy analyst by training.
Mark works at New York University. He's written a few books on marijuana policy in the United States.
How many people like me are there? How many people are there, do we know, that identify as potheads who want to stop?
Something like 4 million. And yeah, it looks like about a third of the people who use every day or almost every day meet the diagnostic criteria for cannabis use disorder.
The criteria, according to Mark? Trying to cut back and failing at it. Knowing marijuana is messing with your life goals and still getting high all the same. He says there's a growing number of people in the U.S. like me, people who want to cut down or stop altogether. He thinks maybe it's because the weed itself is more potent. These days, anything less than 15% THC is a ripoff. But back in the 1970s, it was 3-6% THC. Harder to get addicted to. Less dangerous.
Certainly not dangerous compared to alcohol. The drugs changed in the meantime.
Do you think we ever underestimated the issue of problem users when we started examining issues around legalization?
I don't know about we, I sure in hell did.
He says about 30 years ago, when they looked at people who had used marijuana in the past month, only 11% of them were daily users. Today, Mark says that number is more like 35%.
And again, about a third of them report the symptoms of cannabis use disorder. And those heavy users account for about 85% of the weed consumed.
One of these things that I encounter all the time are people who like to tell me that I can't be an addict. What do I say to these people?
I mean, I know what I'd say to them, but I can't say it on the air.
I talked to Dr. J. Michael Bostwick. He's a professor of psychiatry at the Mayo Clinic, who specializes in addiction counseling. I told him the same thing, how people like to tell me that I couldn't possibly be addicted to weed.
That is complete garbage. But again, if you go with the definition that there's a problem as a result of your use, whether you're meeting your goals as a family member or as a parent or as a spouse, as an adult, or whether potentially your substance use is interfering with your progress, then it doesn't much matter what other people say.
So I tell him about how I started breaking promises to myself, smoking earlier and earlier every day, for example.
Since it is psychoactive, I would say that you probably liked the way that it made you feel, and on one level wanted to feel that way all the time, but on the other level may have felt, I don't know, you'll have to speak to this, uncomfortable when you weren't high when you got up in the morning.
I did feel that way, and as it went on, I began to feel more and more uncomfortable all the time.
And you probably increased the amount that you were taking in.
I sure did.
Which is almost an exact description of any kind of addictive substance or practice.
Anyway, that's how smoking every day made me feel. But I also wanted to know what it was doing to my brain. So for that, I reached out to Dr. Susan Weiss, a psychologist and senior science advisor at the National Institute of Drug Abuse.
Cannabis is a very interesting drug because there is an entire signaling system called the endocannabinoid system.
She told me this system goes through different parts of your brain and body. There's
the hippocampus, which is an area of the brain that's important for memory, and we know that marijuana impairs memory.
And there's also
the cortical areas, which have to do with judgment, and sensory areas, so people may find that things taste different or better.
I didn't know it, but I was futzing with this system multiple times a day.
And when you do that, and if you do it repeatedly, then the system itself will start to downregulate, which means it starts to become less sensitive. And so you're affecting some of the normal physiological processes that this system is involved in. And that's how addiction starts to develop.
So these experts all tell me that the addiction can be real, but at the same time, legalization is on the march. Washington, Colorado, California, and many more on the horizon. So I thought it would be good to talk to some guys in the field who argue for legalization. I expected them to be like, hey man, calm down, relax, it's a plant. But what they said surprised me.
Normal's not here to make the case that cannabis is somehow harmless or innocuous, because it isn't.
That's Paul Armentano, and he's the deputy director of Normal, a pro-legalization group.
The fact is, if we are going to acknowledge that cannabis poses some potential risks, then it only follows that those risks are best mitigated by legalization, regulation, and public education.
In Paul's view, it's not that weed is harmless. It's that jailing people for it is a lot more harmful, especially when the laws are used to put away people of color at a disproportionate rate. So Paul says, let's legalize it. Stop the mass incarceration. Then we can focus on responsible public policy to address the risks. In the meantime, what are you supposed to do if you feel like me? Well, let me tell you how I quit. I finally found a support group for people like me, people addicted to marijuana, back in 2014. And nobody tried to tell me that weed wasn't a drug or that I wasn't an addict. Instead, I heard stories like mine.
Smoking pot was the one nice thing in my horrible life.
And I'd smoke, and then I'd be super depressed and super anxious.
I'd hear these success stories, and I wanted that for myself.
When you wake up in the morning, you know for sure that you're not going to have to depend on something that will surely run out to be happy.
I feel brave now. I feel confident.
I still listen to stories like these. I share mine, too. Sharing, listening, it all helps me stay sober. I don't know if this'll help you or not. I just want you to know there are people out here who take this seriously, that aren't going to boo you. I know I won't.